Our devotion this morning is entitled The Surrendered Life. The Surrendered Life, taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 to 27. Have you, in your lifetime, fought with God because we refuse to yield to His will in our lives, where we are not willing to surrender to Him and let Him take charge of our lives? I recall there was one time I visited someone who shared the testimony. She said, "I've been going through, or I've had 12 operations on my knee. And this time is going to be a total replacement." And she had a viral attack on her body immune system. And the doctor gave her 5 years to live. That was 35 years ago. This was a story of her testimony that took place at that time. And when she heard the news, she was very depressed. And for the first time since she became a Christian, she refused to go to church for 1 month, not wanting to accept her condition. She said that her hands had turned green and spots of blue-black appears on her body. She does not want to die. Child was still young. And so, literally, she said, "I broke down and reasoned with the Lord in my heart for 1 week." And she said to the Lord, "My life is yours. I know that if I die, you will take care of my immediate family, my husband, my child." After she surrendered to the Lord, the greenness left her. Not one trace of the disease is seen since then. And she said to me, "Sometimes the Lord sends us trials to test our faith if we will just surrender to Him and let Him do what He wants with our lives." And so He says, "I hope you will learn this lesson of surrendering to the Lord in faith, whatever circumstances you may be in." Andrew Murray, the writer, shared this same experience. He said, "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him." Oswald Chambers, he said, "We say we must do all we can. Jesus says, we must let God do all we can." And the evangelist D.L. Moody says of his life, "The world has not yet to see what God can do for a man fully surrendered to Him." God's unfailing goodness manifested in the Christian's surrendered life is the topic for our meditation this morning. The surrendered life, the life that wholly waits upon God and wholly seeks the Lord. And this is described for us here. This is described for us here in our text in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. The promise of God to the surrendered Christian is His unfailing goodness. that God will not fail us if we would be willing to wait, to hope upon Him, and to seek Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah, as we said yesterday, is a man, was a man who wrote this book of Lamentations, and also was an eyewitness of Judah's downfall and the capture of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 586 BC. As we said yesterday, he literally saw life collapsing around him. And there are certain times when God brings us into those seasons where we feel the cold chill of the hostile environment that surrounds us. And it threatens fear, it threatens, as it were, all the bad things that the imagination can conjure up. But the Lord says to us that it is in those times that we need to seek Him. It is in those times that we need to wait upon Him. He says in verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. To quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Ponder this saying, all comes at a proper time to him who knows how to wait. I repeat that. All comes at the proper time to him who knows how to wait. And contrast with this prayer. Lord, grant me patience, and I want it right now. Isn't it so common that we would not hope, wait upon the Lord, because we feel that our whole soul is just so unrestful, unsettled, so fretful? Waiting is a most difficult task in this world of instant gratification. To be patient is the character of God. God is long-suffering, patient. And the Lord wants us to learn in this instant noodle, at the press of a button, just at a call away, to a life that is quite different with God. Dear friends, waiting for God, as this man by the name of Campbell Morgan, he was a Bible teacher and a pastor of the Westminster Chapel before Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones would come there to preach. And he says, waiting for God, it's not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Second, readiness for a new command that may come. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. In verse 26, of Lamentations chapter 3, we read, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The word hope in verse 26 is the word to wait. The Christian's wait is a hopeful wait, not a hopeless wait. Here is taught to us that the Christian waits with hope and waits quietly. The word quietly means silently. The soul is at rest in the sight of God. And how we need to cultivate this restful disposition. If we do not have this restful disposition, then you'll find that there is not that God-given, divinely given peace that God would have us to take hold of in our lives. There is a kind of stillness that God sought for His people to leave everything to God. The heart is stilled before God, even in the midst of chaos in the environment, knowing that His God is in full control of the situation. Jeremiah can attest to things really going out of control. Families ravish, the entire nation about to be destroyed. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your business, and to work with your hands, as God commanded you." As we take time to meditate upon God, and to put on a spiritual demeanor, God also gives to us a quiet disposition. There is a calmness in our soul that enables us to wait and hope in God. And there is that understanding, there is that relationship whereby we look for the prompting of the Spirit of God to help us. And so Peter says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." The Christian waits in hope for the salvation of the Lord. When we are not surrendered to the Lord, we would fret and fidget under trial. When God's will is not fully revealed to us, when we don't know, is it like that or like that? And He inclined, we tend to seek to run ahead of God. But the psalmist says, "I will patiently wait," or "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and establish my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." He does not say, "I wait patiently for the Lord, and I was left to wait and wait and wait without answer from the Lord." No. God answers the cry of His children. Psalm 37 verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity." Psalm 37 verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man which bringeth wicked devices to pass." Brethren, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26 says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And it is interesting that verse 26 says, "It is good that the man should both hope and quietly wait." The word "man" there describes a spirit-filled man. Unless the Spirit of God will fill us to grant us that stillness, we will fret and collapse. Today we see in the mental hospital, and I was told there are many top professionals who are there. The stress becomes so great that they mentally break down. What about the Christian? He waits patiently and quietly for his Lord to show his will, and he acts accordingly. And so we said that the Christian not only waits, but the Christian earnestly seek his Lord and experience his goodness. Remember when the army of Egypt was in hot pursuit of the Israelites after they came out of Egypt? They were running for their lives. There was a lot of frantic fear because the enemy was closing in. They were a bunch of slaves with all their luggages with them, moving so slowly, dragging their whatever subsistence they could garner before they run out of Egypt. But the chariots that were behind them, we saw in those in our video, the chariots, the modern day tanks, how to run in such a grave scenario. Well, Moses said to the children of Israel, he told them in the text in Exodus chapter 14, "Be still and see the salvation of the Lord." And then he put his staff into the Red Sea, and the sea parted and opened the way for them. The Lord wants us to be still before him, and the Lord promised his goodness as we wait upon him, as we would seek him. The situation may become desperate, but our Lord is not lacking in power, and our Lord is not too late. You remember the time when the relative of Lazarus came to Jesus and said, "You were 4 days late because my brother has died." 4 days they have buried him, and he was already inside the tombstone. What did Jesus say? "Well, I come precisely at this time." And when he came, he saw the tomb, he wept, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? Well, Lazarus came forth, and in his grave clothes, God gave life to him again. So this God whom we seek, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the God of Israel, is an almighty God. We can trust him to help us. And so the surrendered Christian not only waits upon God, not only would seek him means that you let God know what is going on. Let God know. Let God order it. Then he says, the surrendered Christian also plots on with life for his Lord. Right? There are those who cannot come to terms with their predicament, cannot come to terms with their situation, and they just freeze. Right? They just lock themselves up in the house and would not want to go out of the house. They would just lock themselves up and said, "You know, I do not know what to do anymore. I realize that I cannot continue. I cannot carry on." So verse 27 says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth." The Christian would try his best to do his duties and leave the rest to the Lord. The Christian bore his yoke in his youth. This is the yoke of discipline and hard work. Dear brethren, the surrendered Christian wholly waits upon his Lord. The surrendered Christian earnestly seeks his Lord. The surrendered Christian plods on with life with his Lord. He would go on doing what God has put in his hands to do, trusting the Lord and waiting upon God so that he will show his goodness. And God never fails his people. Therefore, it is of the Lord's promise that the surrendered Christian will experience his unfailing goodness. Experience God's unfailing goodness manifested in our fully surrendered life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. O Lord, save us, for the waters are come in unto our soul. Our hearts and our flesh faileth, but thou art the strength of our heart, and thou art our portion, and thou hast promised us in thy word, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, Lord, this morning we once again come boldly unto thy throne of grace, that we may find help, grace to help in this time of need. We thank thee for thy word that teaches us that when we pass through the waters, thou wilt be with us. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow us. Draw us nigh to thee. Blessed Lord, help us to know a little of the depths of thy love for us as we remember the cross which thou hast died. May we remember the sweat of agony. Our Savior said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. O Lord, as we have opened thy sacred word, the sacred pages of thy word, may thou help us to meditate, imbibe, assimilate, and apply thy truth, so that we can experience this morning thy very presence with us. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.